It's amazing to see what God is doing here in 2 Timothy. A lot of the book is on persecution, and we have been exempt from a lot of that in my lifetime, but it could come pretty quickly, and we have it in different ways than Paul did. But this morning, I want us to just think about, it says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. Everybody turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. We are to be people here that be men like Onesiphorus. Five syllables, you know, and it's amazing there. It just says that Onesiphorus, he often refreshed Paul. And it was a big thing for him to be a refresher. My whole message this morning is that dads should be a refresher. That when dad walks in, he refreshes. And we have some things in life that are refreshing. A spring rain. Every day, all day, you know. It was refreshing about 3 weeks ago, is that right? But a spring, don't you just love the smell of a fresh rain and all of that? We have a freshness here. This is my favorite. This is freshness. This is refreshing. Refreshing. Okay, if you want a drink, come on up. And this is full pulp. This stuff with pulp free is for the birds, okay? And when you drink this, you want it to be something that's got some kick to it, and you just don't drink it. You want it to crawl down your throat, okay? This is full pulp, and it's just like sinking your mouth into an orange, and it's great. I'm going to be refreshed. I love Simply Lemonade too, but I don't think I can drink both of them. I want you to think about me refreshing. Dads, Onesiphorus refreshed Paul often. That's what grabbed me. And his whole household. It wasn't just him, it was his whole household. And he took the time, look at it with me here. It says, this is a prayer here, verse 16. May the Lord grant mercy to the whole house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me. Now, how did he do that? He was not ashamed of my chains. Being a friend of a criminal is not high on most people's list. In those days, being a friend of a criminal in Rome in jail, you could be throwing what? In jail yourself. So he put himself in jeopardy. And it's amazing to think of what all happened here in his life, because his name means bringing profit. He was a personal friend, and he went to Paul a lot, and he searched. Look at verse 17. When he arrived at Rome, he searched earnestly until he found him. Okay? He didn't quit. Would it take a while to find one little man in jail in Rome? It would take a lot of effort. And he did not quit because he wanted to bless, encourage, refresh Paul. And so he looked and looked till he found him. And then he went to him, and he even ventured his own life, endangered his own life to be a friend of a person in jail. And he went and he served. Look at this. Look at the next line. Verse 18b, it says, and you well know all the service he rendered in Ephesus. Paul was in Ephesus for 2 years ministering to him, and he was the one who ministered to Paul, and all the service in the church, in the community, for Jesus, for people, for families. He was the refresher. When they saw him coming, it was refreshing. It was refreshing. When people see you coming, do they say, "Oh, wow, it's wonderful"? Dads, when dad's home, it should be what? It's all good. Dad's here. And dad plays a big part here that we see what's going on. And it is amazing that we see here Onesiphorus, and he played a great part with his family and with people. In verse 18, also it says, "May the Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that judgment day." And here, Onesiphorus was a man that did that. We do not know, but many of the commentators stated that he probably was led to the Lord by Paul. So he felt a great debt to Paul. He was committed to Paul. He was devoted to Paul. He would do anything for Paul because Paul saved him from sin, showed him Jesus, first talked to him about Jesus. So anything he could do, he was the refresher of Paul. Anything Paul needed, he got it for him. Anything Paul needed encouragement, he went all the way to Rome, found him, blessed him, encouraged him, helped him physically, medically, spiritually. He was Paul's refresher. And it is amazing to catch that. And we need to be refreshers. And that is so important. Refreshing. There is a cleaner that Stephen uses. Pray for Stephen. His funeral with his family in Tennessee will be tomorrow. And it's going to be heavy. They still feud in Tennessee. And, you know, we laugh at it, but that's heavy stuff. Here's heavy stuff. And fussing on, can't bury him here, can't bury him here, got to bury him here. And it's a mess. It's a mess. Pray for him. He's pretty discouraged. And that will be tomorrow. He uses something in the gym. It's called Fabuloso. That's the best stuff in the world. You go in the gym, and usually gyms smell like what? Sweat. You go in the gym after he's used Fabuloso, it smells what? Wonderful. Wonderful. And only one that can't take it is right back there. It's wonderful. It's fresh, refreshing. I like to go in and go, "Oh, that smells so good." You go in one of our restrooms. I like restrooms that smell good, okay? And Fabuloso does it. And it is something refreshing. To be a refresher, you have to be refreshed yourself. And this is so important that you catch this and you realize this is very important. Let me go over some thoughts here on being refreshed yourself. Some Bible verses that are so important that you catch this, that you are refreshed yourself. You need to be refreshed to be a refresher. And let me read you some verses here. In Psalm 19, verse 7, it says, "The word of the Lord is perfect, flawless," this is from the Amplified, "restoring and refreshing my soul." The word of God. You must be a Bible person to be refreshed yourself. It refreshes you. If you haven't found that out, you've not read your Bible enough, because it works and it restores your soul. It refreshes you. It's better than Simply Orange. It's better than Fabuloso, whatever, Fabuloso. It's better. And you've got to have that. Psalm 119, verse 25, it says, "My earthly life clings to the dust. Revive and refresh me according to your word." Psalm 119, verse 88, "According to your steadfast love." You've got to catch that love of Him. "Refresh me and give me life so that I will keep and obey the testimonies of your mouth." Matthew 5, verse 8, it says, "Blessed, forgiven, refreshed. refreshed by God's grace are those who mourn over the sins and repent, for they are to be comforted when the burden of sins are lifted. They're refreshed by grace. You're refreshed by God's love, by His Word. Luke chapter 9, 6 verse 21, it says, "Blessed, joyful, nourished by God's goodness are you who hunger now for righteousness, actively seeking right standing with God, for you will be completely satisfied, blessed, forgiven, refreshed by God's grace." Matthew 11 verse 28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened by religious rituals that provide no peace. I will give you rest, refreshing your soul with salvation." It is so important that we grasp this and reach to this and realize, I got to let God refresh me. I need it every day. I need refreshed every day in the things of the Lord. And I need to be in His Word and let His Word refresh me. I need to let saving grace refresh me. I need to let His steadfast love refresh me. I need to let His righteousness, His salvation. And catch this. And the last verse is Proverbs 16, verse 20. It says, "Understanding," it's all from the Amplified, "spiritual insight is a refreshing and boundless wellspring of life to those who have it." You got to get it from God. Dads, I'm emphasizing dads, but moms and kids and grandpas and grandmas, we all need to let the Word of God refresh us every day, and it becomes a wellspring in us, coming up, reminding us of truth, of grace, of love, of salvation, and righteousness. Is that right? I got it. It's from God, and He refreshes me every day. I don't deserve it, but I'm believing it. I'm claiming it. I'm standing upon it. I'm confident in it. I'm refreshed by Him. And all being a refresher is you're getting it from Him, and then you start giving it out. It overflows. And when you walk in, it's you, it's God. He's refreshed you, and you have joy, and you're giving it away, but you got to get it yourself before you can give it away. In Acts chapter 27, verse 3, it said, "The next day we landed at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul with thoughtful consideration, allowed him to go to his friends there, and he cared for and was refreshed." Once you let God refresh you, then the people around you can refresh you. Coming to church should be a refreshing time, like going to a family reunion, but better. There's no fighting, okay? And in Romans chapter 15, verse 32, it says, "So that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company." I trust you're refreshed when you come to church. It's wonderful to come to church. Today you got to go downstairs and see all what's going on. But I love it when people are talking, buzzing, and to realize that's what it's all about. And you see people, and it's just like a family reunion. You're getting together, God's people, and you're going to bless them, you're going to pray for them, you're going to encourage them, you're going to listen to them, and it is wonderful because you got to be refreshed to be a refresher. And if you're not getting it, you can't get it. You get it from God. You get it from God's people. You get it from situations that you see God in. God's here. Yay! That's refreshing. And that is what it's all about, to catch that and understand the refreshingness of God in these times, to realize He's here. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. These are my verses in 2 Timothy that I've chosen for Father's Day. Verse 5, it says, "I am reminded," 2 Timothy 1, 5, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well." Praise God. What's absent from this verse? Fathers, grandfathers, Many of the commentators say that his dad had already died. Okay, I don't know. But we need dads that are godly and faithful. We need grandpas that are godly and faithful. I take it personal that I'm a grandpa and I have a certain responsibility to train my grandchildren for God. Okay? And I'm not there all the time, okay? But when I am there and I can pray for them, I can text them. I can't spell, but I can say, "Hello, Liam." And it's amazing. It goes, "Hello, Liam." I go, sometimes it's terrible what it prints out from my speech. I've seen cussing and everything. I said, "No." My speech, my West Virginia, I have about 10 syllables to each word, you know. And it's amazing what comes out on this, on the thing. It's amazing. I'm thinking, wow, it never can get prayer. I forget what it puts, but it never gets it. But we have a responsibility to lead our children to godliness, and that is very, very important. Look at chapter 3, verse 14. Chapter 3, verse 14. It says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you've learned it, and how from a child you have been," I love this from the ESV, "acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Dad, it is your job to make certain your kids know the Bible. That's what it says, from a child. Oh, it's mom's jobs too, and it's grandpa's job too, and it's grandma's job. But Dad, the Bible. Before Dad can teach the Bible to his children, he must what? Know it himself. Dads be Bible man. All I remember of my dad was him reading his Bible. Every time I caught my dad, he was reading his Bible. Every time. Every time. He didn't talk to me much. I wish he would have talked to me more. Okay? Only thing I ever heard come out of his mouth was, "No." Okay? I'm a firm believer that there should, for every no, there should be a yes. I like that. We've tried to practice that, Ronnie and I, with our children. But my dad read his Bible all the time, and that just gave me a solid rock, and you realize this is worth living for and dying for. And unless you read it a lot, you don't know it. If all you get's from the preacher, you're going to forget by 2 or 3 o'clock this afternoon most of what I said. And you got to be a Bible person. Dad, "Well, preacher, I don't know how." Let me give you a real simple reading. Start reading it. Where? Anywhere. I would suggest the New Testament. Okay? Read it. For every hour you put into sports, read the Bible. For every hour you put into your hobby, read the Bible. You will become a Bible theologian. "Well, preacher, I don't understand it." Keep reading it. Huh? Keep reading it. And that's so, so important there. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. Paul was a mentor, a refresher of Timothy. 2 Timothy 3, verse 10, it says, "You, however, have followed my teaching," catch this, "my conduct, how I lived, my aim, my purpose in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my endurance." You know, I set the pace for you, Timothy, or Titus, and or Timothy, and you followed my. I am a refresher of you with all these things. I live this way. I talk this way. I approach my life this way. I was steadfast. I was solid. I was strong for you, a trustworthy, dependable, a selfless, sacrificial, and just getting in there, being a gentleman, being consistent, being honorable, being solid, being stable, being dependable. Is that right? Very important. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "You then, my child, be strengthened," that's refreshed, "by the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Be strengthened. That's the whole thing. Titus chapter 1, verse 2, and chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Titus, 1 Thessalonians, excuse me, I messed up there. 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 11 and 12. Everybody turn there. This is a verse that a statement is made here, and it is not related to what Paul's saying, but it's an illustration. 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 11 and 12. 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 11 and 12. "You know very well," Paul's talking, "that we treated each of you," here it is, illustration, "the way a father treats his child." Now here we're going to get a very clear statement of how a father treats his child. Okay, here it is, just an illustration. "We comforted you and encouraged you." Okay? That's what a father should do. "Yet we insisted that," verse 12, "you should live in a way that proves you belong to God who called you into His kingdom and glory." Is that pretty good? That is a great verse. Dads, that's the verse for you this week. 1 Thessalonians 2, mark it down, verse 11 and 12. This is how a father treats his children. This is very practical. He was teaching them how he, as the preacher, was treating them as his children. But he says, this is how a father, he comforts them, he encourages them, and he insists that they live in a way that shows they belong to God. That's pretty good stuff. And I said, that is a good verse to realize that that's what we're here to do and to be, and to say, God, help me to do that and to work with it, and to say, God, bless what I'm doing here. How do we do this? Let me give you some personal thoughts. If you got my email yesterday, you'll have a lot of this in your email. Please read that. I put a lot of time into that. It's got a lot of practical stuff to it. Also, this is on the table back there, the communion table there with the VBS stuff. A copy of this, you can get it afterwards. Excellent. There's much more than I'm saying. But how dads can be a refresher. Dads need to be a refresher by persistence in joy and thanksgiving. Dads set the tone of the home. Very important. Dads also establish the culture of the home. There should be joy. There should be contentment, generousness, sacrifice, thanksgiving, gratitude, attitude. You set the tone of the house. Usually you do it very quietly. And it's all right. You're the tone setter of the home. Also on that paper back there is live in grace. You are to not provoke your children to anger. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4. Here's a verse here. Put it up there. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4. It says, "Fathers," it's from the Amplified, "do not provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to the point of resentment with demands that are trivial or unreasonable or humiliating or abusive or by showing favoritism or indifference to any of them." Isn't that a big statement? That's really putting it there. That's what you're not to do. You know, boy, do as I say, not as I do. That's provoking. And then it says, "But bring them up tenderly with loving kindness in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." And it is very important that we realize that we have to do some discipline, that we have to have children that they know firmly that we're not going to allow rebellion and all of that. And we lead them to inner repentance and outer obedience. And we want to extend grace to them, and we want to show them kindness and gentleness and gracious. But we got to be consistent. This is wrong. This is right. We're not going this way. We're going this way. And you do it with joy. joy. And that's very, very important. Last point on this paper here. It says, live with God's glory in view. Whether you're working, resting, playing, seek God's glory. Every moment has importance in that. When you laugh, laugh hard. When you work, sweat with your kids. When you sing, sing loud. Should men sing loud? Man, Dad really sang that song. Did you see Dad singing that song? We're trying to teach you all the songs. The songs that are new, we're working at it. Y'all, hope you noticed that. Take the little sheets home and learn them. Patrick's going to put a thing back in the corner back there so we can learn all these songs. That should be important. And this is what we do. And that is a big thing that we do to bring glory to God. I found another paper that gave us some ideas of how to work with the church and how to be refreshing. This was great. It says here, to be refreshing, to be a refreshing person. When you just walk in, man, you're simply orange all over the place. I tell you, you're refreshing. Or Coke. Isn't one of the Coke a refreshing drink? It's in his advertisement. But it is there. It's like an oasis, is that right? On a desert. When you come in, we all just feel refreshed, feel good. And you're to be a person that brings joy and spiritually stimulate them. Do others consider you refreshing? Do you strive to be a refreshment to others? Is the Jesus and the Bible's refreshment to you overflowing into other people that it's just refreshing to be around you? We have to deliberately seek to nourish this and develop this. What nourishes you? Does a person smiling at you nourish you? Encourage you? Just smile. I don't know what to smile about. Well, let me kick you in the backside. You know, you got to be refreshed to be a refresher. You should smile. Christians should be the smiling. You should walk up to somebody and say hi. And then listen to what they got to say. Visitors coming in, you should be interested in them. And then your mouth should just be overflowing with grace. And then on Sunday morning, come in you with an idea of ministering and talking with two or three people in the church. Don't just come and sit. Come to minister. Come to bless. Well, nobody blesses me. I had one of our ladies having surgery this week say to me, tell all the people wrote me cards, and every card was like it was sent from heaven. Are cards important, sent to people hurting? Still important. It's not important that you buy them at store. It'd be better to get a little thing and just write on it something, or get your computer out and write on it. Do you know how much cards cost now? It's robbery. You can make the same thing on computer, or you can just write it out. Give it to me, I can write it, but they can't read it. But a card sent to somebody, a text sent to somebody. I do a lot of texting and just encourage people. And it's important that we grasp that and we realize I can do that. Also, we should not rush out of church. Let's take time to talk to people. After church is a wonderful time. Come early. The donuts and all the stuff that... Who makes? Where is she? Shelly makes. It's wonderful. If you don't come to church at 9 o'clock, you're missing something good. Is that true? Oh, that's really true. Every Sunday. It's worth coming at 9 o'clock. It's worth getting out of bed a half hour earlier. And then the fellowship afterwards on Wednesday night after church is awesome. It's a buzz around here. If you've not been here on Wednesday night and after church, you're missing it. Why do you come to church? Sit and hear the preacher. Oh, be a blessing. And then you know, spontaneously invite people to your home. That is very important. Visitors coming, get to know them. Children, get to know the children. Our church pushes children and adults together all the time. I don't like kids. Tough. Jesus does. And it is. And then, you know, write encouraging notes, email encouraging notes, text, email, our prayer sheet. We try to put addresses on there, write people, bear one another's burdens, pray with people, serve people, give financially to help their need. Our church does that a lot. Love them. And even if it's not returned, be quick to forgive. Go around with the joy of the Lord in your soul. Huh? Be a refresher. Be a refresher, because that's what it's all about. And Jesus wants us as fathers to do that. Put the next picture up. It's Dad's Day. Be a refresher. The last verse is Proverbs 16, verse 22. Look at that. Put it up. Understanding spiritual insight is a refreshing and boundless wellspring of life to those who have it. Be refreshed from God, His Word, His salvation, His grace, His forgiveness, and then let it flow at home, at work, at church, to your neighbors. Huh? Man, I love to be around that person. They refresh me. They encourage me. They lift me up. Don't you hate to be around people that tear you down? Oh, get a life. You get out on the wrong side of the bed. A refresher. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, help each man to realize he's to be the refresher of his home. The stable, consistent, constant, God-loving, Bible-filled refresher of his family. Lord, help mom, help the kids, help grandma, grandpa. Lord, help us each to realize people want to be around people who have been refreshed by the Almighty and then try to give it away with joy and peace and just stability. Lord, bless. Bless our homes. Bless our homes. Lord, help us to surrender all to God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.